Thank you. I believe we have the only counsel who'll be arguing today. Welcome to the Court of Appeals for this November 19 panel of our oral argument, which is being held by interactive video using the Zoom platform. This is our third and last oral argument for the day, and it is in the matter of the welfare of the children of AED and DLS Jr. Parents. Counsel, each of you will have 15 minutes to present your argument, and appellant's counsel will have an additional 5 minutes to use for rebuttal. Please state your name as you commence each leg of your argument, because we only maintain an audio recording of the presentation. Also, if you have any technological issues along the way, if you can't hear or see anyone involved in the proceedings, just let us know somehow, and we'll pause the proceedings so we can sort out the technology. And with that, counsel for appellant, whenever you are ready to proceed, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Ann Morris Carlson, and I was appointed by the juvenile court in Crow Wing County to represent the appellant mother in the appeal of the transfer of physical and legal custody from mother to her parents. I have to start by correcting a misstatement I made in my reply brief. I have to concede that the Court of Appeals has reversed a transfer of custody earlier this year, where there was a change of the transferee from the grandmother to the aunt, and the best interest findings were inadequate to effectuate appellate review. The Court of Appeals has also remanded for detailed findings in ADB, and I'm sorry, the previous case was A231175, and this case, ADB, is A210876. I understand the role of this court. This is an error-correcting court, and I understand my role as appellate counsel is to make the arguments that the district court abused its discretion as to mother. And I am making those arguments. But in speaking with mother, she made it abundantly clear to me that she wants the children with father if they aren't with her.
But father did not appeal.
I also know from my experience,
Does mother have standing to make the argument on behalf of father?
I don't think so. I think it has to come from the court. I think that Mr. Smith was correct in his arguments, but I was compelled to make the argument because this is a clear error and it's a highly prejudicial one. To designate this as an involuntary transfer as to father when he didn't have custodial rights to transfer. The problem is that I see this where cases come in and the safety concern presented by the agency is that there's an involuntary transfer, which I don't believe is a safety concern, but my concern about this family situation is father can and should file a petition. I know I don't represent him. I'm abundantly clear on that. But mother wants the children with father, and I...
But if father's not challenging, if for all we know, father's happy with the decision of the district court, why would we reverse... And with the result being father has custody of the children and we have no reason to believe he has any interest in it.
The reversal wouldn't be that father has custody of the children. The reversal that I'm asking for is correct the error. Correct the error that designates this order an involuntary as to father. Because I know that social services can use the error against father in the future.
So if I can just try and crystallize your interest of justice, because that's what the question before us, right?
Thank you.
Interest of justice should compel us to take that step because as I understand it, father will be presumed probably unfit to parent should he have children in the future. Is that a fair synopsis of your interest of justice argument?
Thank you, Judge. That is a fair synopsis, is that there is a it's an error, and in finding that mother is the only custodial parent, that comes from the court's order. The court talks about how mother is the only custodial parent. Father didn't have to enter an admission at the CHIP stage because mother is the only custodial parent. And then somehow at the very end of the order, this is an involuntary as to transfer. It's not just about future children, though.
Can I just ask a follow-up question about this?
Thank you.
Is there a, I mean, because you obviously practice in this area and both of you know more than I do about it, but is there a possible process to remove an involuntary transfer of custody from one's record?
That is, I'm unable to answer the court's question. I don't have the answer to that. I'm aware that if you have an involuntary transfer, that it's something that the court, rather, that social services can and will use as a current safety concern for removal. You're presumed unfit because of your involuntary transfer. And that is my fear as the father is. We have a fact pattern that does, we have a fact pattern that he is not a go-getter, but he's also not palpably unfit to parent, or he didn't lose his custodial rights because he didn't establish them. And I've contemplated
So
this case.
why can't father make that argument later? I mean, I guess I'm just stuck on this notion of standing that mother can on appeal assert a right, even in the interest of justice, that you know, that somehow somebody else has been unjustly treated, that we on appeal could make that determination, or that there's a basis for us to even in participate in the inquiry mother is making on behalf of father. Is there any it, what is the is there some basis in the law that you found that would give us even the authority to do that? Let alone the discretion.
I can't find the look. I tried very hard to figure out how I could do this on behalf of this family unit. With mother telling me she wants the kids with father, and my concerns that that should have been the agency's obligation. Recognizing, I mean, this case feels a little bit differently. In the wake of FKO being being not published, but print FKO coming out last week, I recognize, and I'm sympathetic towards someone that may or may not have even been informed of the fact that he could appeal this order. I know that when court administration asked me to take the case, I said no twice. And that's not, I'm not saying that, congratulations to me for taking the case, but the appellate counsel for these cases is not abundant. I don't know if father asked for counsel. I know that he wouldn't have had standing to appeal the order, but for the fact that there's an error in it designating it an involuntary transfer as to him.
But he was
The
presumed
remedy would
at
have been
trial
filing
and
an
he
appeal.
was represented by counsel at trial, correct?
Yes. He was. I understand the court's position, but this is an argument that I was compelled to make because what I am seeing is someone that I feel there's an order that pertains to them that has a highly prejudicial effect, and I didn't feel I had a choice. But obviously, this court knows the law far better than I do. So I do think that the court should reverse that portion of the error. I am asking the court to reverse that portion of the error, and I'm asking the court to use its authority as an error-correcting court to find that that is plain error, obvious on mere inspection.
Counsel,
Because
do you know whether father or mother at the time of trial made any motion for amended findings or a motion for a new trial given the gravity of this error?
I don't know. I'm not able to answer that. I've made the argument, and I believe the court has the discretion to decide whether or not to address my argument. And I'm asking the court to use its discretion to address the argument, acknowledging that there are concerns about mother bringing the argument on father's behalf. But also, I wanted to make clear, for the sake of the conflict, any perceived conflict about me bringing the argument, that it is mother's ask. It is mother's ask that the children would be with father if they can't be with her. She made that abundantly clear to me when I spoke with her. There's now, as to the other arguments that I made, current safety concern. Mother demonstrates a lot of dysregulated behavior around the children. That's the current safety concern. I am not asking the court to find that it's clear error that the court made a finding as to mother's case plan compliance being lacking. I am stating that when I read this record, when I read the order, the case plan, and with my knowledge of this area of the law, mother generally complied with her case plan.
So I can be clear about something, since we know that kind of failure to comply with a reasonable case plan can result in this presumption. So you're not, I want to make sure I understand, you're not contesting the reasonableness of the case plan. Is that fair?
I am not contesting that portion of the order. I'm contesting a current safety concern. What my focus is on, what's the safety concern? Is there a safety concern today that isn't that mother doesn't get along with social services? And again, looking back to FKO, that's how that presented to me, was that you have parents that are, their children are removed and they have emotional reactions to that. And that's pretty understandable. And then they don't come along to embracing the helpful hand of social services in the many ways that it chooses to criticize them for their perceived shortcomings. The current safety concern is that mother yells at father a lot in front of the children. She's dysregulated. Although I contemplated the reasonable efforts findings, I also recognize in my research of transfer of custody cases that the findings that the court is required to make under 260C.517 do not rise to that high standard that they would be under a termination of parental rights. It's, we need to make detailed findings about the parent's compliance with the case plan, or if the, or the parent's ability to use the services that were offered to them. We need to make detailed findings about social services providing efforts to reunify the family. So I also want to, I have to address that I appreciate that the agency recognized that the case fell short, the facts of this case fell far short of a termination of parental rights. I appreciate that. I appreciate that Crow Wing County acknowledged that. I appreciate that Crow Wing County acknowledged that these parents have a relationship with their children that is worth preserving. I am, should have addressed my concerns that there isn't a visitation plan outlined in this order, but I did not properly bring that before this court. Because in speaking with mother, I fear that that isn't happening, but I also don't know that I also know that I failed to properly phrase that in my ask of this court, because I was so preoccupied with my concern about how the district court's order treated father.
I have one follow-up question about that. You said that mother made it clear to you that if the children couldn't be with her, they wanted them to be with father. Is
Yes.
there any testimony at trial or where she said that?
I did my best to encapsulate the trial testimony into my brief. I mean, that's where I got all of my arguments from, is from trial testimony. And mother and I had to talk about the fact that with the transfer of custody, she has the ability to petition the court at some point in the future, despite the fact that there is now a presumption that she is unfit to parent. We talked about that, but I didn't find that that was something that was explored on the record. Mother's position as to father, and her preference for the children being with father if they couldn't be with her. So my ask of this court is that the court would reverse as to, well, I'm asking for the court to reverse the transfer of custody in its entirety, finding that the court failed to make the best interest findings required under 260C.511, and finding that the court made a plain, obvious error, prejudicial on mere. May I finish my sentence, Judge
Yes,
Ross?
yes.
Made a plain, highly prejudicial error in designating the order an involuntary as to father. I concede I don't get to bring these arguments on father's behalf, but I felt that I had no choice but to do so. And I'm asking this court to consider the arguments. Thank you.
Thank you. And you will have 5 additional minutes for a rebuttal if you'd like to use that time. Counsel for respondent.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Travis Smith, and I represent respondent Crow Wing County Community Services in this appeal. I want to kind of jump right into this interest of justice standing question, because obviously that's occupied a fair amount of the court's interest and time here. Standing is a jurisdictional doctrine. Without standing, this court has no authority, even in the interests of justice, to correct an error. It is a bedrock principle of our judicial system that courts only have the authority to remedy wrongs when there's a real party in interest. The real party in interest here, to assert the arguments appellant is making regarding the involuntary transfer as to the father, is the father. He could have made those arguments. He did not
Now,
make them.
this is kind of an interesting case where, at least arguably, on the question of the party that could be injured, a family situation where arguably, I mean, why doesn't mother have a stake in the relationship between her child and the father?
She may have some interest. I don't think she has a legal right in that, in that that's injured by the order. But more to the point, she had a vehicle for achieving the result she wants now. She asserts she wants. She could have brought a competing permanency petition in the district court that sought a transfer to father if custody was going to be transferred from her. And that may have given her standing to later on appeal challenge the refusal to do so, but that's not what she did. She had an opportunity to make that desire known and even compel the district court to make a competing consideration about that. And I also don't think that the alleged error here is as clear as appellant's counsel would have this court believe. This court and the Minnesota Supreme Court have held that district courts have the ability to terminate the parental rights of people who are not by definition parents. And that was a complicated case of statutory interpretation that resulted in a published decision from this court and a decision by the Minnesota Supreme Court. So this is a novel and complicated argument that appellant's counsel is raising for the first time on appeal. And so it's not as simple as saying, well, he had no custodial rights, therefore you could not involuntarily transfer those. There's an analogy that would suggest that the holding in the matter of the welfare of the child of SBG, and I can provide the court with the citation for that if the court wishes, that holding that you can terminate the parental rights of somebody who doesn't have a legal parent-child relationship with a child would by analogy suggest that you can involuntarily transfer the custodial rights of somebody who doesn't currently have custodial rights. That certainly is a novel question, and one that could be explored in the appropriate context where the appropriate parties are raising that and the arguments are properly preserved by being presented to the district court. That's not what happened here. This court should not consider and does not have the authority to consider that argument in this case, because appellant is not the proper party to raise that argument, at least on the procedural posture of this case, and standing is a jurisdictional doctrine, meaning this court does not have the power to decide an issue absent a party with standing bringing that issue to this court. This court doesn't have broad-ranging authority to just correct errors when no party withstanding to bring them presents them.
Mr. Smith, let me ask you what I ask appellant's counsel. Is there a process that you're aware of to remove an involuntary transfer of custody from one's record?
I'm not aware of any specific sort of expungement process in statute for removing an involuntary transfer. But to Judge Harris's point, there was no motion for a new trial or amended findings that was made by father to try and address this issue. That certainly would have been an option. And again, the bringing of a competing petition prior to trial by mother would have maybe given her standing to address this issue on appeal, but none of that happened here. If the court doesn't have any other immediate questions on the standing question, I'll just move kind of briefly to whether the record supports the district court's findings. I have to disagree with counsel that the present alleged safety concern is that appellant yells at father. There were ongoing safety concerns at the time of the trial based on not just appellant's emotional dysregulation and the abusive relationship between appellant and father, but the fact that that dysregulation led to emotionally abusive behavior of the children. The district court made detailed findings about this, and those detailed findings in its approximately 45 page order are amply supported by the record. The social worker testified about the fact that there was continuing emotional and verbal abuse of the children when they were in appellant's care. There was ongoing discord between appellant and father. The social worker testified while she would occasionally see observable change in the appellant, that change wasn't sustained. The district court found that while there was some even substantial compliance with the case plan in certain aspects, there was not substantial compliance with critical aspects. And given the testimony of the primary social worker, the social worker who was conducting supervising the visits, the parenting capacity evaluator, and the guardian ad litem, that the conditions that led to the out-of-home placement of the children had not been corrected at the time of trial, the district court clearly did not abuse its discretion when it found as much. And for that reason, this court should affirm. The record also demonstrates that the district court properly applied the correct best interests analysis. There's no requirement in this particular statutory scheme that there be detailed findings on those considerations in the best interest, like there would be, for example, in the termination context. When you read the district court's order as a whole, it's clear that the best interest considerations were considered by the district court. They were carefully applied to the facts as found by the district court, and the district court did not abuse its discretion when it transferred permanent legal and physical custody of appellant's children to their grandparents. If the court has no further questions, I would simply ask this court to affirm. Thank you.
There does not appear to be any additional questions, so thank you for your argument. Counsel for appellant, any rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court, or for the record, Ann Morris Carlson, representing appellant AED.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I understand this court has to look at The findings made by the district court in a light most favorable to the fact finding. But the authority, the court does have to make, the district court does have to make findings conforming with JCL about the relationships, preservation of the relationships under 260C.511. And the court did apply the wrong best interest standard here. The best interest standard is under 511, and that's what JCL tells us. As far as current safety concern, that is my overarching argument on behalf of AED, is that the facts that led the case in were that she demonstrated emotional dysregulation, and it seems that the court relied on the emotional dysregulation that she demonstrated towards social services more so than the emotional dysregulation that affected the children.
And that's your interpretation of the inferences, but you recognize that your interpretation does not appear to be taken in the light most favorable to the district court's determination.
But it is the argument that I am making.
Understand.
So, Ms. Carlson, when I look at the record here, one of the things that stands out to me, kind of in response to your, you know, there were these ongoing safety concerns at the time of trial, is that history of the visitation here that mother had with the children. And just the real ups and downs with that, including, you know, as I recall, but you know the record better than I do, you know, two visits that were canceled, you know, because of the conflict between mother and father. So given that that's one of my concerns on the safety front, could you address that?
And it wasn't helpful that there was an order for protection filed against mother on father's behalf shortly before the trial, certainly. It's not that there was no merit to the concerns that mother and father have a relationship with strengths and weaknesses. I recognize that. And I also recognize, and I think that I've conceded this point fully, but I have to say it because I'm here, that the findings fall short of what would support anything happening as to father for an involuntary transfer as to father of rights that he didn't have. Because yes, I am here on mother's behalf. I'm arguing that these findings are insufficient to support the transfer of custody, but the court's order concedes many times in many ways that father really isn't a safety concern. That he really hasn't done much wrong, other than he's allowed mother to kind of steer the ship. That's why this case rings so familiar with FKO. And I apologize, unprecedented opinion that was issued last week, but that mother was running that case and that father was largely ignored by social services as being a placement option, even though they are required to have him be option B. Can we assist him in getting to a place where he can safely care for the children if it can't be mother? I'm asking this court to consider my arguments. I'm asking this court to consider my arguments about how, first, I'm asking the court to find that the court made the incorrect best interest findings. The best interest findings it's required to make are under 260C.511. I'm asking the court to find that there isn't a current safety concern and that mother's relationship with father is not a safety concern that prevents the children from being returned to her care. And I'm asking this court to find that there is a plain, highly prejudicial error in this order in involuntarily transferring or designating the order an involuntary transfer. Judge Ross, may I just finish a brief thought, please?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Whereas this finding, the only effect that this finding has is that it applies the presumption of father. I've thought about it every day since I submitted the first brief, that the only effect that it has is that the now father is presumed unfit, and these facts don't support that. I'm asking this court for a reversal, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel for your written arguments and for your oral argument. And thank you, Ms. Morris Carlson, for your candor with the court. You recognize you're in a difficult position, and you, I think, have not only dutifully reflected that, but also made the argument on behalf of your client. Your client should be very happy with their representation. The matter is submitted. We will issue our opinion within the statutory period. This is the last argument we have for the day, so I bid you both good day, and we are in recess. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.